University of Colorado.
Well, greetings, see you on the air, listeners. Some of you may have noticed a few changes in the past few episodes. For starters, the host has a very different sounding voice than in episodes past. I'm Emily Davies, and I recently took over from the inimitable Ken McConalog as the new host of CU on the Air. As Ken prepares for his retirement from CU after serving 15 years, three presidents, 26 regents, nine chancellors, and never a dull moment as vice president for university communication, we wanted to talk to Ken and get all the tea, as the kids say, before he leaves us. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Emily. And I must say, you're doing a wonderful job as the new host of this.
Thank you, Ken. Well, if you had hoped for a quiet ending to your time at CU, well, best laid plans and all that. But first, I'd like to ask you, what is the secret to your longevity at CU?
You know, I was wondering that myself not long ago, and I can't really say for sure, but I would guess that it's a little bit of hitching my wagon to some good stars. I've had the good fortune to work with some great leaders in Hank Brown and Bruce Benson and Mark Kennedy. It's a little bit of being in the right place at the right time. I think it's probably some quite modest talent and a lot of dumb luck.
Well, I think you're being very modest, but how would you describe the job of vice president for university communication? Can you kind of give us a download of all the different responsibilities that go with that?
You know, if I had to describe it in a sentence, I would say my job is to promote and protect the image and reputation of the University of Colorado. Now, a lot goes into that. CU obviously is an important part of the fabric of this state, so we are under a level of scrutiny that I don't think any other higher education institution certainly is under. Since we're such a big, complex organization, too, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of people, a lot of things happening. Now, for me, the incredible, wonderful things that happen at this institution are front and center. And they get a lot of the attention they deserve, not all of the attention they deserve. But at the same time, you know, there are bad things that happen, people who do stupid things. And so we have to take the bad with the good. But for my money, there's a lot more good at CU.
Well, it sounds like it's a job that requires a great deal of stamina. Would that be an accurate description?
You know, I don't know if it's stamina. My background was as a newspaper reporter, and I think when you work in a newsroom, it's always kind of go, 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 and the next deadline, the next story. So I think that training has paid off well along the way for what I do now.
Well, as you've alluded to, you've worked closely with and served three very different presidents during your time at CU. What can you tell us about each one?
Well, what can I tell you on the record for each one is probably it. You know, what they have in common is a deep and abiding care and appreciation for what this place does. And they all want to move the place forward, and they all did so in their own way. They obviously had different styles, and their presidencies came at different times. But I think that they were the right person for the time. When Hank Brown was president and he hired me, the university was mired in a couple of different crises, big crises, and Hank was just the right person to calm the waters and get the place headed back in the right direction. Bruce Benson had an intense focus on the reputation of the place and making sure the people of Colorado, inside and outside the university community, felt like they could have confidence in their university. And he was laser focused on that, and I think did a great job. You know, Mark Kennedy recognized the times are changing, not just at CU and in higher education, but around the world. So he really had some important visions that he set out and that the university community has rallied around, and I think that will serve us well. So I would say that each of them was a product of their times, and each of them was the right person for that time.
Well, what aspect of your job did you like the most?
The aspect I liked the most was working around a lot of smart, dedicated, hardworking people who shared the view that I have that places like this change lives. I mean, this place changed my life when I graduated with the journalism degree way back when. And I think when you have a common cause, it makes working a joy as much as it's a chore. I mean, that not to say it's not a chore at sometimes, but I think the people, obviously, and the enterprise, too. I mean, we sit here at 1,800 Grant, and there's no classrooms in our building, and the only students are the ones who are student workers. But it's still great to be connected to this wonderful enterprise.
Okay, now, what was your least favorite aspect of the job?
You know, when you have a job like this, a lot of it is you're dealing with bad things and you're dealing with crises. And that in and of itself was not a bad thing. I mean, it was part of it, but it can be wearing sometimes. You know, I guess the part that bothers me the most is when people level unfair criticism at the institution or the people inside it. It's fair to criticize. We are a public university serving the public good, and the public has a right to have their voice. But what I found over the years, a lot of time that voice was not as informed as I would like it to be. You know, again, it's fair to criticize, but bring that from an informed perspective.
Right, right.
When I started at CU, we had two national crises. One was Ward Churchill and the comments he had made about victims of 9/11, and he was eventually dismissed for research misconduct. The other was athletic recruiting scandal, which it was remarkable to me that those twin events had years of effect on how we think about the university and its public persona and how people thought about it. You know, I don't think we're doing any popularity polls back then, but if we did, I think the university's popularity would be very low. We were getting hammered every day in the media. It was front page news, one or the other of those scandals. And Hank, to his credit, was like, we're an open book. If the press wants something, give it to them. And he and later Bruce turned it from a adversarial relationship to one where now I think the university's got a pretty good reputation among the media for being agreeable to work with, which I wouldn't have predicted in 2006, 7, 8. And, you know, the university endured through it, and I think a lot of it was due to leadership of people like Hank Brown and Bruce Benson, who understood what it took to regain the confidence of the public. And we worked on that steadily throughout my time here. You know, as I go out, there's more issues to be dealt with. But as I tell people, the university's been here for 145 years, and it's going to be here for a long time after we all leave, and that's a great thing.
Well, you definitely do have really good material for a book. And I think a lot of people would buy and read that book.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if it'll be a tell-all.
I think it should be. Those are the best kinds. As host of the CU on the Air podcast since its inception in 2017, what advice do you have for present and future hosts and or the CU on the Air podcast team in general?
I don't know if I'm great at giving advice, but I think this is a wonderful medium to tell some of the great stories at this university. And one of the things that I have thoroughly enjoyed about doing this is I've learned so much about the people here, the work they do, that really is life-changing, awe-inspiring. And I think these are stories that need to be told. I think, too, as a new host, I think you should fully appreciate your team here and John and Kathy and, you know, do what I didn't do often enough, which is buy him a beer now and then.
That's good advice. I really, really, really do appreciate you guys, by the way, just so you know. You make me look good.
We should all give a shout out to former Regent Steve Ludwig, whose idea was to do this podcast. And I remember when he suggested it, thinking, I don't know, I'm busy. And he said, no, it's a great medium to tell the stories. And, you know, you've got a good team. And he told me I had a great face for a podcast. And, you know, he was right. There's a lot of great stories to tell. And I've enjoyed this aspect of my job and appreciate the team.
Nice. So when you think of some of CU's greatest accomplishments during your tenure here, what springs to mind?
There's so much it's accomplished at a university on any given day, but looking at it big picture-wise, I mean, part of the job of the administration is to create an environment that helps the people who are teaching in the classroom and researching in the labs to do what they do so well. You know, surviving the Great Recession in 2008 or so, which had ripple effects for years, was quite an accomplishment. And likewise, getting through the COVID pandemic, which is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-century, hopefully, occurrence, was remarkable, too. So, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of people with a lot of expertise pushing the same direction to get through those type of things. So I think those are pretty good accomplishments.
I agree. I would agree with you. Well, Michael Sandler, who currently serves as Associate Vice President for Communications at George Mason University, has been chosen as your successor, and he'll be joining CU on July 1st. What advice would you give him, or any secrets or tips for succeeding in this position?
I would encourage him to rely on the considerable expertise that is here and tap into the network of people who want him to be successful. I know from experience, too, that I came from a single campus, University of Northern Colorado, to a job at a system, and it was an entirely different thing. So I think him keeping in mind that it's the same kind of challenges, but an entirely different environment will be helpful for him. I mean, you don't have as close an interaction with faculty or deans or students, for that matter. Again, your job is to help create an environment that will help the people who are doing the work do that work. So you just have to have a different mindset. But I think, having said that, the campus experience that he's had and that I had will also prove invaluable, because you understand what the enterprise is all about.
Right. Well, obviously, there are a lot of changes afoot with Mark Kennedy transitioning from CU on July 1st, and Todd Solomon, it was just announced today that he's been chosen as interim president. What are your thoughts about all of this change and the administrative direction CU is taking?
Well, the old joke is, how many people in higher ed does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Change is difficult in a lot of organizations. It's particularly difficult in higher education. And what I have seen is, when you have particularly sudden change at the top, it's very disruptive. I mean, it has ripple effects throughout the organization. Having said that, I think we're in a good position. We have largely gotten through the pandemic. The university is on solid financial footing. But it's still a challenge to get through that. However, I have every confidence, you know, that Todd Solomon is going to do a great job. He knows as much about this place as anybody. He's very talented. He's very attuned to the people who make this place go. And he's committed to public service and ensuring that CU remains an asset to the state. So I'm confident for what's ahead.
What will you miss most about working at CU?
These podcasts.
When in doubt, the answer is podcast.
You know, I think I will miss being part of an enterprise that, you know, is personally so meaningful to me, and I think meaningful to everyone who goes through it or is touched by it, and that's a big number of people. I've been blessed to have some fabulous colleagues in 15 years, and there's been a lot of stability in the team that I'm part of, and that's helpful as well. So, you know, it's hackneyed to say, but it's obviously the people. You know, I won't miss the late night phone calls or like last weekend, Memorial Day, working every day of the 3-day weekend. But I will miss the people.
Well, how do you plan on staying involved with CU?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to take that as it comes. I mean, obviously, I want to help as much as possible. I'll help Michael with his onboarding. When I was hired, there was two people who did my job before me, and both of them were let go before I arrived. So I didn't have someone to say, you know, you need to know this person, you need to stay away from that issue. And so I hope to help in that regard and then wherever I can be supportive of the place.
Well, what are your plans for all the free time that you have coming up with your retirement? Do you and your wife have any big plans, big travel plans, anything like that in the works?
We have some travel plans. We bought a house in November, so she has a nice lengthy list for me of things to do, and I enjoy doing that stuff, so that's helpful. I intend to spend an amount of time doing something I love, which is reading mysteries.
Nice.
Out on the deck, so doing a lot of that, and then just kind of finding where the path takes me. I've got a couple things in mind, but nothing specific.
Okay.
I plan on taking a very large, deep breath on July 1st.
I bet. You've earned it. Do you have any parting words for your team in university relations, which is kind of a shamelessly self-serving question, given that I'm on your team in university relations?
Well, I would just say keep up the good work, and there's a ton of great stories. I mean, there are more great stories at this university than we can ever uncover. And the team in university relations and across our campuses do great work in telling those stories. And, you know, it's hard for everyone because there's a lot of noise in all of our lives, whether it's news or podcasts or emails or things like that. But I think it's critical to keep talking about what's special about the University of Colorado and the difference it makes in people's lives.
Do you have any parting words for your faithful and fearless See You on the Air team, the wonderful producer Kathy Buten and recording engineer John Arnold?
You know, I would hope that maybe once they would buy the host a beer. What do you think, Emily?
I mean, that would be kind of cool if they did that, but, you know.
We've offered several times.
We can't expect too much.
You book another brewery.
We tried.
Well, Ken, as my mother used to say, when they made you, they broke the mold. But it's been an incredible honor working with you and learning from you. And I know I speak for many, many people at CU when I say I'm going to miss you a lot. And just to give you a heads up, I, along with many, many people at CU, will probably be calling you with lots of questions and for advice way more than you'd like.
I'm always happy to give advice.
Nice. Okay, well, Ken, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Best of luck to you, Emily.
Thank you. I'm going to need it.
The See You on the Air podcast is a production of the University of Colorado. To learn more about the University of Colorado's unique four-campus system, please visit our website at cu.edu. Please be sure to review and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. See You on the Air is hosted by Emily Davies, produced by Kathy Buten, and recorded and engineered by me, John Arnold. Email us your questions and suggestions at ontheair@cu.edu. We'll see you on the air next time.
University of Colorado.